Well, a good Friday morning. We welcome you in to the Gardener's Corner program, a Friday feature here on WKRX, WRXO, and TV Channel 10. My name is Rob Hall. We hope that you're doing well. I want to let you know we're brought to you today by T.G. Brooks Company, South Boston Memorials, and Our Pride Foods, makers of Our Pride premium pimento cheese spread and dip. I would like to make welcome to the program this morning Mr. Gary Cross, the crop agent for Person and Granville Counties. Good morning, Gary.
Good morning, Rob. How are you doing today?
Oh, we've been kind of running around here like a one-legged man in a you-know-what kind of contest. But anyway, we are excited. We're glad to have you on the radio. Hope that you're doing good. And I, myself, and I'm sure a lot of other people are, enjoying these cooler temperatures.
Now, am I allowed to say this is Carl Cantaloupe Day as far as a happy birthday going out to him?
I'm glad that you made mention of that, because I had planned to do the very same thing. Yes, the all-seeing, the all-knowing, the big kahuna himself, Dr. CC, as we affectionately used to know him by here around the radio station, Mr. Carl Cantaloupe celebrates a birthday today, and I certainly hope to talk with him later on to wish him a happy birthday and many, many more. Gary, Carl is kind of the one that brought you out to the radio station the very first time that you was ever on the program. And how many years ago was that?
Going on about 7 years, Rob.
Wow.
And the main issue was he enjoyed this program. I think you know that he really enjoyed doing that every Friday and talking to the radio public about all different types of horticultural issues, whether it was insects, pruning, whatever, house plants, you name it, he could talk about it.
And he really could.
He's his counterpart is as good as he is, Johnny Cola, you have on all the time. So, you know, we've been lucky. We've had really two good horticultural agents come into this region.
Absolutely. Anyway, I really enjoyed working with Carl, and I enjoyed working with Johnny Coley, the horticultural agent for the Person in Granville County offices, in which all the agents that I deal with are just really nice to deal with. They're very friendly, very knowledgeable, and we're just lucky to have such, you know, wonderful agents here in our area. And, you know, Gary, that is the thing about the North Carolina Cooperative Extension Service. They, you know, have a lot of resources, you know, to back them up, including two major universities, A&T State University and then North Carolina State University. And they know how to put knowledge into people's hands and minds that is in need of it. And we're just, again, I can't stress it enough, how lucky we are to have the North Carolina Cooperative Extension Service.
Well, we say, you know, the same thing, to have a excellent radio station that allows us to get our messages out is just a wonderful opportunity for us. And Mr. Bratcher and you and Gilby and the whole gang there really do an excellent job and do a lot of positive things for that community.
Well, you know, Gary, we certainly believe in serving our community. We always strive to serve our community 100%. Do we always make it to 100%? Sometimes not so, but we always try our best. And speaking of that, I want to say a public appreciation to Pastor David Blackwell with the Food Bank of Roxburgh and Person County, actually the Food Pantry of Roxburgh and Person County. Pastor Blackwell put the most pleasing to us here at the radio station thank you note in the local newspaper, and I really do appreciate Pastor Blackwell doing what he did. He went far and beyond of what, you know, he had to do. But Pastor Blackwell, again, thank you. It put a smile on everybody's face here at the radio station for the compliment. And anyway, it's just a big thank you, WRXO. And it says, if not for our local radio station, WRXO, the Food Pantry of Roxburgh and Person County would not have the success that we have. We receive many truckloads of food each month from the food bank in Durham and Raleigh. When we receive notice that the trucks are on the way, the first thing that we do is call WRXO. Within moments, cars are filling the parking lot. We are always told what a good job that we are doing. But the real hero is David Bratcher and the staff of WRXO. So that was mighty nice that Pastor Blackwell, you know, put that in the paper. And he does a lot for the community. And we are very fortunate to have, you know, Mr. David Bratcher as our owner and CEO.
That's fantastic, Rob. It shows the appreciation of people working together in a community. And I think that was just a wonderful note put in there, and I second his note that he put in the paper of what you and Mr. Bratcher and the whole staff does in that community. So, for your listening audience.
Well, Gary, let's kind of move along. I know you've got several things that you want to talk about today. But if you wouldn't mind, could we talk about the more or less the Fire Ant webinar that's going to take place next Thursday, the 15th, at 7 p.m. You know, fire ants have been in the Granville County area, I guess, a few years, but they are slowly creeping into Person County. Can you give us a little bit of information about this or what information it will be providing next Thursday night at 7 p.m.?
I think it's an interactive webinar to ask questions. I know they're going to have some entomology folks. I think Mark Watson's going to be on there. You have to sign up through the Person County. It's on the Person County website. And or Granville County website, I should say. So you need to do that if you're going to do it. I think they've got over 100 people on there signed up now. Fire ants have, you know, I've dealt with them in Texas and Kansas and other places. They are a nuisance and a menace. You know, they're in yards, they're in Rob Hall's horse pastures, they're everywhere. It's tough to control them. You've got to worry about what's on your property and what you can do to control what's on your property. I'm not totally for sure, Rob, if you work 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, or at least 10 hours a day, that you could get every mound that's out there in a pasture, a field. Now, you might be able to do that in a small yard, but a lot of times they keep coming back, and you have to, you know, do different control methods. So, you know, try to imagine a farmer. You know, fire ants don't bother crops normally. they may be in a crop that has aphids in it because they protect the aphids because they want the honeydew that they produce to bring back to their nests. And so you may see a lot of them on a crop that, but they don't damage the crop. Farmers don't normally spray for those because if it isn't eating your crop, why spray it? You understand where I'm coming from?
I do.
I mean, you understand that these things can fly several miles, the new queen, and to establish new colonies. And they're worse this year. And really, Rob, I don't know. We had a really light winter. It really wasn't that cold. I don't know. We had a lot of rain early, and then we had 2 months of drought, and then we had a lot of rain again. I'm assuming that's probably part of it, but I think they've just been moving in worse and worse as the years have progressed. And you know, they're in southern Person, and I'm sure they're probably in northern Person County. So you know, people just need to, especially if they got yards and stuff, call Johnny Coley, and he can help you in relation to what you can do on treatment levels. It's a little different and a little harder if you're out here, you know, some of the products you may want to contact Kim Woods if you're doing a pasture, because, you know, there may be negative effects to livestock or horses or whatever. So, and you can get some of that information on that webinar coming here in on Thursday evening. But the issue that people need to realize is, you know, and from a farmer perspective, if they're not damaging my crop, you know, I'm not going to spend the money to go out and spray them unless you're forced to or something by government. But I don't think that's the issue. I mean, let's say I have tobacco budworm on tobacco and it's eating my plant, I'm going to go out there and spray that. But if I got fire ants out there, they're not bothering anything, roots, nothing, why would I spray that?
Well, you know, Gary, when the fire ants are in your livestock pastures, they can cause a lot of pain to your livestock, and also if you have some in your yard, they can cause pain to you.
That is exactly right. What I was talking about was only row crop. The main issue is that's a different issue with when you have animals and kids and everything else involved when you got them out in your yards. But, you know, talk to Johnny and talk to Kim and those issues, and they'll help guide you through some of that. Some of those problematic issues. But with row crop, like I said, you know, unless a farmer really wants to get control of them and go out and spray them in the fall, but you got to be careful because, you know, you can't get some of that stuff in the food chain. You may or may not be labeled for certain crops. An issue that, you know, what the time of the year they need to be sprayed, what are farmers doing? They're either planting, harvesting, or something of that capacity. So,
right.
But I'm just being frank and upfront because that's basically what's going on. These ants can be in my yard and fly to Rob Hall, well, maybe not to yours, maybe 8 to 10 miles, and go to somebody else's yard or pasture, and there you go. So that's hard to control.
Well, you can log on to, or do a Google search on this, I should say, go.ncsu.edu/Person County Fire Ants, and that should link you up to where you can register for the webinar presentation that will be again Thursday, October the 15th at 7 p.m.
And Rob, we need to understand too, fire ants are not everywhere. They're not in everybody's yard, they're not in everybody's fields or pastures. but they're out there. And this year it seems to be more visible than it has been in the past. And that's another thing in row crops. You can start these mounds, but if your crops are up and they're covering the ground, how do you see them? You can't. So that's another issue that you have to deal with in row crop agriculture. So I would advise people to get on the webinar and ask questions. I'm sure there'll be a Q&A. So do that Thursday night at 7 o'clock.
Gary, kind of changing gears, but kind of still keeping focus on the row crops and things like that, as well as crops for 2021. People still have time to take that soil sample and get it turned into their local cooperative extension service office and get the results back, because the free soil sample is still in effect until Thanksgiving. But after Thanksgiving, that $4 per sample fee will be taking effect, correct?
That is correct. And I'm glad you brought up soil sampling and fertility. I spent all day Wednesday with a young man from campus working on his master's or doctorate on a program. He is sampling every county, two samples, with every county in the state, and they're going to try and determine some issues in relation to fertility, soil health, you know, what's happening, soil structure. This is a pretty mammoth project. He was on his 45th field, and he had 250 more to go.
So he's going all across North Carolina doing these samples?
All across North Carolina. Person and Granville counties are included. So we've went to all different types of soil types. I brought him up to a Person County field. We were getting samples out of that field, and there was a few rocks in that field. You know, the soil down 6 to 8 inches had some rocks. And, Rob, I don't know if you know this, but there is rocky soil in Person County.
Well, I always tell everybody that's how we got the name Roxboro, was from the rocky soil. So, but it is a lot of earth bones here in Person County, to certainly say the least. But soil samples are extremely important. You know, soil samples, they will help save you money. And the main objective of doing a soil sample is it making you money. And, you know, Gary, as well as I do, if you go out and you put way too much fertilizer out, you're wasting money, and you're also not doing the environment any good with all the runoff.
Well, I mean, you get fertility levels so high. I've had experience in this with other states I worked in, that they had spent so much money on fertilizer and had their soil fertility so high that it was making the crop a little sick. They were tying up micronutrients, essential micronutrients like zinc, and you know, they had to back off of their fertility program other than a small maintenance to be able to let those levels come down so it would untie the micronutrients that needed that was needed in that plant. And once they did that, their yields went up. You can put too much fertilizer on. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. And but you want to be able to get your levels up to, you know, what the state rates are and what will work for your farm. But, you know, overly extending that can be problematic in relation to making the tying the nutrients up in the roots that are essential such as zinc and maybe sulfur and maybe some of these other micronutrients.
Well, now, Gary, here it is. We're not far from, well, I guess we're in the first third of the month of October. But as far as tobacco that's still out on the hill, so to speak, farmers, you know, as we are quickly approaching that October 15th in the Piedmont, October 15th is the, you know, time of year when our chance of frost increases pretty rapidly from October 15th on towards the end of November. But as far as tobacco pounds per acre this year, have you had any farmers to say whether they were, you know, turning out an average year, below average, above, or has it been kind of?
It's kind of a medium, maybe below, maybe a little bit below medium, but it's been probably pretty much a medium year. There may be some spots out there that are very good. The organic pricing has been a lot better than the non-organic conventional blue cured price. There's, you know, it's all over the board, and that's every year where price will be and what they're looking at in quality. You know, some of the earlier planted tobacco, some did pretty good, some didn't. It was, you know, it got thin and light colored, and you know, that doesn't bring as good a price a lot of times. But some of the later has come on, has done pretty good, but because of the hot weather we had late in July and August, you know, that was thin, and that's been a, you know, a reduced price in that capacity. But I think overall they've been a little better than what they've been in the past a couple of years, and you know, that's a good sign.
Well, Gary, we need to take a break and get a word on for one of our sponsors, South Boston Memorials. Mr. Gary Cross is our guest. We'll be back with more right after this message from South Boston Memorials. South Boston Memorials, located 1439 Seymour Drive in South Boston, Virginia, has been in business since 1958. The Myers family of South Boston Memorials believe that every life has a story. For four generations, their life work has been to present and preserve that story for our prosperity to hear. Allow South Boston Memorials to tell yours. South Boston Memorials has granite memorials, markers, and mausoleums, over 300 in stock. In-house laser etching is available at South Boston Memorials, and they can also make pet markers. For memorial benches, vases, and monuments, call on South Boston Memorials at 434-572-3859 or visit their website, sobomemorials.com. That's 434-572-3859. South Boston Memorials is located 1439 Seymour Drive in South Boston, Virginia. Like us on Facebook or visit the website, sobomemorials.com. Stop in and see those folks over there, and they are friendly people. Want to make mention about the Oak Grove Community Food Pantry at 854 Oak Grove, Mount Zion Road in Roxboro. It will be open today. They will be there between 5 p.m. and 7 p.m. They will be distributing boxes which contain meat, produce, and dairy products, along with other nutritious foods. It will be a drive-through distribution, so all clients are asked to stay in their cars. Everyone is welcome, 5 to 7, at Oak Grove Community Food Pantry, 854
Oak Grove, Mount Zion Road, between 5 and 7. Gary Cross is our guest today here on the Gardener's Corner program. We do appreciate the support of South Boston Memorials. Coming up in a little bit, we'll get a word on for T.G. Brooks Company and Owl Pride Foods, makers of Owl Pride premium pimento cheese spread and dip. Gary, as far as the corn crop, I know we had some beautiful corn earlier on in the year, and then it just kind of turned off dry. Have you heard any comments or more or less?
Again, Rob, I think a lot of it is, you know, where you, when you planted and the timing of when the rains came in. You know, we had an early frost, which damaged a little bit of the corn that was out there. The main issue is, again, you know, yields are going to be all over the board from, you know, 170, 180 to, you know, 60. And it's just, you know, it's just where you were. And I've seen some late planted corn that looked very good. I have a late planted corn plot down in Butner that I'll be shocked if it's not 160, 170 bushel average.
Wow.
So it's very good, but it was late, very late planted, and it hit timely rain. You know, I've seen some other late planted corn, you know, mid to late May, that looked very good too. And you know, the main issue is, Rob, you kind of need to spread maturity and varieties out on a farm. You know, you got earlier maturing corn, you got medium maturity corn, you got later, and probably a good idea to spread a little bit of those three out, and most people do. And if you need some early corn to market, or you got a grain contract, you know, that's good to have that. But you know, you need to spread your maturities out. You need to maybe even spread, look at a couple of different varieties from different companies and see what you got. And you don't necessarily have to do that, because all companies have pretty good varieties. But it's always good to look to see if there's something better out there. That's the way farmers are. They're always looking for what'll do better, what's the best, what'll do best on my farm to make me the most money. And but I found out from experience that spreading out maturity is a pretty good deal.
Well, now, Gary, talking about corn, I got to ask this question. How about the popcorn crop that you have been, I know you've got several test plots of popcorn. How's that shaping up?
Well, Rob, this year was a tough year on popcorn. In the plots I had this year, the ones that were, I don't want to say from the North American part of the plot, the ones that were bred and raised here in the United States, took a heavy beating. The heat really nailed them this year. It's good information to know. Now, the ones out of Mexico, Central and South America that I've grown, they did pretty well.
Really?
I'm talking about some Flint corns, popcorns out of Brazil, some popcorns out of Argentina, some more Flint corns out of Brazil and Bolivia and Argentina. They did, you know, very well to the heat, which they should, because those environments are a lot hotter than our environments up here, so they should have been able to take the heat. But a lot of the varieties I had, like strawberry, and I did get a little strawberry, but a lot of the what I call novelty varieties, Shaman Blue, Shades of Brown, all those types of novelties, pretty was hurt pretty good. Now, there was one popcorn variety that was, it's called South American, and it was raised, it was bred here in the United States. They just call it South American. Now, it did pretty good. There was one called Husker Gold that did okay. It's a little bit later maturing, so it did okay, and that was been a very popular variety, you know, 60 years ago. But the Flint corns, a lot of Flint corns pop. A lot of people don't know that. Chipotle, you've heard of the Chipotle restaurant.
Yeah.
The Chipotle corn, you can use as flour, you can use as meal, and it will also pop. Pretty versatile corn variety, if you think about it. And it'll grow well here in North Carolina. You know, you got to plant it in May if you can, and it'll do well. So, and it's a kind of a brown-colored corn, and it's very beautiful corn. And but you can, it'll pop. If you throw it in a pan, it'll pop. Maybe not as good as regular popcorn, but it will pop. But it also makes high quality meal and high quality flour.
Well, you know, it's interesting, you know, Gary, when you talk about corn in general, all of the products that are made using some type of corn, not only, you know, livestock feed, but for human consumption, you've got corn oil, corn meal, corn syrup, you know, the list just goes on. And, you know, I think a lot of times when you just see corn growing in the field, you just think about, you know, it's being planted for animal consumption, where in many cases it is, but not in all cases. It's there, you know, for human consumption as well.
And, you know, we're the biggest exporter of corn in the world. So we feed a lot of people, you know, with corn products. You know, a lot of people don't realize, Rob, that a farmer basically feeds 128 people in the world. One farmer.
Well, I couldn't remember.
That's a pretty
good ratio. It is. I couldn't remember the number, but I know that that number, you know, seems to grow a little bit larger, you know, every century or so.
Well, and it has to do with technology and larger machinery and better ways of looking at growing corn and extraordinarily improved varieties and hybrids. That's basically what's brought us up. You know, I mean, I can remember my dad talking about planting corn with two mules and a two-row planter, and then they go out and hand harvest it. And that was less than probably 80 years ago.
Yeah.
Think of where we've came since then.
I know. It does you know, make you think about it. It sure does. Gary, one thing that I would like to make mention of, for those folks that have not put any fertilizer on your cool season grasses, hopefully you have, you know, done soil samples. But, you know, Johnny was telling us a few weeks ago that you're better off to spread out your fertilizer applications on cool season grasses rather than doing it all at one time. So, you know, if you have time to do it this month, next month, even on into December, you will be fine to put out some fertilizer. Lime can be put out any time of the year. It takes a little while to get the lime incorporated into the soil, but lime has a very important role, whether it's in your lawn, your garden, or your farm crops. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes, and that's an essential. essential issue of keeping your pH balance. pH balance, if it gets way out, if it's too high alkali or too acidy, then again, you're tying up nutrients, and that's problematic in yield performance. The main issue you want to look at in lime, too, is always make sure you're getting agricultural grade limestone. There's different grades of limestone, different sieve sizes of limestone. So always ask that question, especially if you're a home and lawn gardener, or, you know, they do a lot, used to do a lot of inspections of fertilizer lime, or agricultural lime, I should say, all over the country in every state. They used to have departments dedicated to that, you know, a fertilizer department that looked at limes, because a lot of farmers would get, you know, a road grade lime, what you would put on a road, and then cover it with asphalt or gravel or whatever, and they would not get as much, I don't want to say performance, out of a road grade lime than a specific agricultural lime.
Well, now, Gary, isn't lime used in shingle manufacturing?
That may be, but the main issue, I think, or point I'm wanting to get across here, Rob, is, you know, it wouldn't hurt to have your lime checked, especially farming-wise. I mean, but it basically has to be, to have a good effect, an agricultural lime, or what is designated an agricultural type lime. And, you know, you can spread it yourself with buggies, or you can have it hired done.
Right. Well, you're exactly right. And, you know, but get your soil samples, turn in your soil samples, get the results back. And, you know, when you get the results back, if you do not understand the soil sample report, talk with your local cooperative extension service office, and they can help you understand what you need. And, you know, follow the recommendations, and you will be pleasantly surprised. We're going to take a break. We need to get a word on for T.G. Brooks Company.
The leaves are falling. It's October. Fall season is in full swing with warmer days and cooler nights. It's still time to plant your turnip seeds, though, and also your kale, mustard, collards, and broccoli. It's also time to apply Fertiloam and high-yield lawn and garden products. It's also time to sow the yard and do fall planting. Where do you go? T.G. Brooks Company. There's no better time of the year to reseed and refeed your lawn. Enrich your yard with nutrients such as lime, fertilizer, grass seed, including the new Top Choice Turf grass seed for greener and plush lawns. Many people have been to T.G. Brooks and picked up or had delivered beautiful mulch, including some of the triple ground mulch. They now have gravel by the scoop or bulk loads, and they have screening available too. It's also time to do some raking and stay ahead of the leaves. Get your lawn rakes and your tools to do the work. Fall and this time of the year is also a good time to check on your stovepipe needs and fitting needs. Also, they have your replacement parts for Taylor wood stoves like blowers, anode rods, rust inhibitor chemicals, and pumps. Next month, we'll be celebrating Thanksgiving. Keep in mind, T.G. Brooks will have your Thanksgiving famous T.G. Brooks hams. So plan now to put that on your shopping list for later on. From cast iron cookware to case pocket knives, from grocery needs to radio flyer red wagons, from plumbing supplies to electrical supplies, they have it and plenty of advice. Thank you for your business. Look forward to serving you at T.G. Brooks Company. Phone them at 364-2428.
Your Friday afternoon forecast involves a mostly cloudy sky, mainly high clouds around the area. High temperatures today cooler than yesterday's. They're in the low to mid-70s. This evening and overnight tonight, we could see a few showers popping up. We start Saturday morning in the low to mid-60s. Saturday afternoon, showers are likely in spots with high temperatures in the upper 60s and low 70s. Better rain chance on the way for Sunday, mainly in the afternoon and evening. I'm meteorologist Zach Mullock in the Weather Center.
Thank you, Zach. We appreciate that weather report. It's 15 minutes before 12 o'clock, and let's see here. 63 degrees. Gary Cross is our guest today here on the Gardener's Corner program. Gary is the crops agent for Person in Granville Counties. Gary, it's a beautiful day. I love fall time of the year. How about you?
I do too, Rob. You know, I'm out here harvesting what I can get this year because of the kind of a wacky growing season. But I really enjoy it. Cool afternoons, you can get a lot of work done, and not a lot of things bothering you. Dry air, and you get a lot of things accomplished.
Well, now, Gary, as far as field plots for 2021, I'm sure you have already started thinking about the different things that you would like to do a test plot on, correct?
Yes, will be doing at Butner Research Station. I'll be doing a wheat plot this year. I'll have different types of wheat and different colors of wheat. I'm going to have a white wheat variety, a couple of them in there, and varieties from different companies. And maybe if COVID has calmed down, we can have a little tour with it in late spring with it and talk about wheat. And, I'm hoping that a lot of farmers will plant wheat this year. It's a good cash crop for the summer. And like you and I have talked about before, if it doesn't make grain, you don't think it's going to do well, you can always cut it as hay and sell it as hay. And you've seen a lot of wheat hay sold in these counties around here, Rob.
Yeah, you've talked about it on the program before about how important, the wheat crops are. And you've also talked about, how many farmers are missing out on the rewards of wheat. It's a good cover crop, and hopefully it can produce a little bit of revenue. We're going to take another break to get a word on for Owl Pride Foods, makers of Owl Pride premium pimento cheese spread and dip. Gary, a few weeks ago we had some jalapeno peppers that we roasted in the oven with some of that Owl Pride premium pimento cheese in it. And man, I'm going to tell you, that was extremely good. I'm going to have to make a pimento cheese run pretty soon because I always like to make sure that we have plenty on hand at home, whether it's a snack or a meal. You can't go wrong. Owl Pride Foods, makers of Owl Pride premium pimento cheese spread and dip, is made in Roxboro. Pick up some the next time you're shopping at Hurdle Mills Market and Butcher Shop, North Main IGA, Supply Line Discounts in South Boston, Virginia, Food Lion, or Kenyon's Meat Market in Mebane. You can enjoy Owl Pride premium pimento cheese spread and dip at Rock City Grill, Cole's Pharmacy, Triss's Espresso, and Clarksville Station. Owl Pride Foods, makers of Owl Pride premium pimento cheese spread and dip, remind you that goodness grows in North Carolina. Try the jalapeno added for extra flavor. That's Owl Pride premium pimento cheese spread and dip. We're back on the Gardener's Corner program. Mr. Gary Cross is our guest. Gary, we just had a caller calling into the station and left a message with a question. And you maybe could answer this question, or we may need to refer the caller to Mr. Johnny Coley. But the caller's question is, they have moss growing in the yard, and they want to know what they can get, can do to get rid of the moss. Do you have any idea?
Not off the top of my head, but have them call Johnny Coley at either the Granville or Person County offices, and they can get that question answered.
Well, you know, the caller, you can call 336-599-1195. That's the number to the Person County office. Or if you want to call the Granville County office, it's 919-603-1350. And you can leave your message for Johnny, and he would be the best one to answer that question. And I don't think I've ever had that question asked before, but I you do see moss a lot of times, you know, in, you know, creeks and streams and, you know, high moist areas, but never even thought about how to get rid of moss like that. But anyway, Gary, another question. As far as planting over winter oats, it's a good time to go ahead and do that, isn't it?
You can do that. A lot of people, too, also can plant them in the spring. It's up to you how you want to do it and how you plant it. A lot of people use them mainly as feed and or maybe a little grazing with them. And a lot of it's old hay. Yeah, you can plant oats in the fall or the spring, and you know, you don't get as much out of it maybe in spring because you don't get the growth as quick or as much. But now, you know, you could be planting some oats, you could be planting some wheat, malt barley, barley. I mean, you've got several options out there, and you know, it can be grazed. And you can talk to Kim Woods about any of these types of issues on grazing and haying. And you can grow them as grain. If you're going to grow malt barley, you better have a market for that because that's what you use for brewing.
Right.
But, and we have a guy down here at Durham who does buy it on the north end of Durham, who's a malter, and he malts for people all over the United States. So, and his products, you know, some come from here, some come from different areas in the country, but he does it, and he's a native German, and that's where he was taught by a brewmaster, I guess, yeah, malting master, and he brought his talents here and is doing quite well.
Now, if people would like some general knowledge on barley, they could contact you. I know you've done a lot in, you know, studying and field plots with barley. And if you have another question for Gary, the crops agent, 336-599-1195 or 919-603-1350. Well, Gary, again, we are quickly out of time. A big old thank you to you and all the other agents for everything that you all do to help get the job taken care of, whether it's around the farm, home, wherever it may be. You always lend assistance, and we appreciate that.
We appreciate you allowing us to get our message out. Thank you, Rob.
Thanks to our sponsors, T.G. Brooks Company, South Boston Memorials, and Our Pride Foods.
96.7 WKRX.